Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
I'm just reading the sports headlines.
That's
take
nice.
This, Todd.
Denise.
Yeah, I was
Mike
right.
Great's at the command center. Ripster's doing his thing over there. Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes.
So many people will be off today to commemorate that wonderful man and who did some great things, especially here in the United States. I think it had an effect on the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
In the church, we also commemorate St. Anthony, the abbot, back in the early, mid-third century, and he started the rule there, so called the Patriarch of the Monks.
Not to be confused with the St. Anthony we all know.
No, you don't ask the St. Anthony to help you find anything other than to help you find holiness. That's what this Anthony would help you do. So we ask for his intercession as we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, who brought the abbot St. Anthony to serve you by a wondrous way of life in the desert, grant through his intercession that denying ourselves, we may always love you above all things. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Alabama Smile Design. Dr. Brandon O'Donnell and his staff offer you the finest quality care in cosmetic and implant dentistry along the Gulf Coast. Call them today at 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Alabama Smile Design, beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city.
And in world news, U.S. and British authorities today continued an investigation into the weekend standoff at a Texas synagogue that ended with an armed British National Debt and a rabbi crediting past security training for getting him and three members of his congregation out safely. A possible drone attack may have sparked an explosion that struck three oil tankers in an Abu Dhabi and another fire at an extension of Abu Dhabi International Airport today that killed three people and wounded six. Novak Djokovic arrived in his native Serbia on Monday after being deported from Australia because he was not vaccinated against COVID, ending his hopes of defending his Australian Open title.
Don't get me started.
I know. Pope Francis has asked Catholics to offer up their sufferings this week for Christian unity. During his Sunday Angelus address, the Pope called on people to participate in the upcoming week of prayer for Christian unity taking place tomorrow through the 25th. The bishops of Fargo and Bismarck are speaking out against a proposed gender inclusion policy that would require everyone at the University of North Dakota, even visitors, to use preferred pronouns and affirm individuals' chosen gender identities or face the consequences. Under the proposed rules, violators risk being expelled, fired, or kicked off campus, as spelled out under the university's existing discrimination, harassment, and sexual misconduct policies.
That seems bold for the Dakotas to try something like that.
Yeah. And in sports, it was the 49ers over Dallas, 23-17. The Steelers fell to the Chiefs, 42-21. Buffalo beat the Patriots, 47-17. And the Bengals beat the Raiders, 26-19. And tonight, the Cardinals play the Rams. So
There we go. There's
all
the news we can use. We have with us on the line David Bonagura, who teaches at St. Joseph's Seminary in New York, and we're looking at his latest article in The Catholic Thing, Being Catholic in the Workplace. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Todd. Good morning, Ellen. Thanks for having me.
I had to chuckle, though, when I was reading your article, because I love St. John Paul the Great, and when he talks about the workplace, I picture him in the stone quarry, you know, before he got hit by a truck, and here he is saying, oh, we need to be a wonderful light unto the world in the workplace. And I'm like, oh, my Lord.
Bam.
Those circumstances, David, are pretty crazy.
I agree. He was. That's why he's a saint, and we're still working on it.
So what do you mean by this? How are we supposed to be Catholic in the workplace?
Well, the Pope John Paul gives us a framework. Work in the workplace is what we do, and then how we do it. Now, what we do is not necessarily a problem to being Catholic. If you're an accountant, there's a certain way to balance the books. It has nothing to do with faith in the triune God. Likewise, if you're a doctor, the way medicine works, or if you're operating heavy machinery, the way that stuff works, none of that has anything to do with our faith in God. But how we approach that work, that's the key there. Do we do it with a spirit of Christian charity? Do we do it with a way of realizing that we're doing our work as part of cogs in God's wheel, if you will, that he has a plan, he's writing a story with our lives, and even if we're doing something as mundane as cleaning somebody's office, we're nevertheless being a part of God's story, a story that we can't necessarily see the whole thing, but we can see it. So when we know we're in it. So when we're doing that, we need to act in a way that God would have us, for the sake of better writing his own story and for the sake of the other people who are with us, whether it be our coworkers or whether it be our clients, and depending on whatever it is we're doing, that we can bring Christ to them through the way in which we do our work.
Mm. Amen. All right. So many of us are thinking, okay, I do fine in the workplace, David. I mean, maybe I'm not like making the sign of the cross or saying grace and things like that, but I'm kind of getting along. Isn't that good enough, David?
Well, we could always say that, right? If it's good enough, it's good enough, it's good enough. But God always calls us to more, mm-hmm. right? We have a story of the rich young man. It says, I follow the commandments. I've did everything you want me to do. So, well, sell everything you have and come follow me. So, God's always raising the bar on us, and that's the challenge, especially at work, right? Most often, myself included, we don't want to raise eyebrows. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. And so it's not necessarily the way that, you know, we need to go out on a megaphone in the library or in the elevator and start yelling to people to listen to the Bible and things of that nature. But people take notice of the way we act. And let's just say, here's a simple example that anyone could do, not necessarily a Catholic, but to stop swearing, to not use any sort of foul language. People notice that after a while. They say, wait a second. They notice it. They don't necessarily verbalize it, but they'll say, wait a second. This guy doesn't curse. He must be an okay guy. And that means something to people. And they'll take it. Wait a second. This guy is doing this. Maybe I need to get my act together too. So little things like that go a long way, especially in this day and age when people are so closed off to the faith in public, that tiny little witnesses, we may not even realize it, go a long way to help other people boost their faith. And they may never say anything to us, but they're watching, they're listening.
I think it's a thousand small things you can do in the office, leaving the lunchroom and wiping the table or throwing out some trash somebody left there. There's ways that you can be part of your work community in a Christian way and in a Catholic way that others might ignore because they are, you get to work and you're hyper-focused on what you need to do and you need to get done and this is all I need to do. And I'll just give you one example. I was working in commercial radio, selling advertising, setting up promotions. And that is a very egocentric thing. You are working your own accounts and you're trying to get things done and be the best salesperson. And the guy that sat next to me came down with cancer and he was out of the office a lot. And so I would just pick up his phone when it was ringing because I knew it was some of his clients and I would start to write his orders for him. And I would just do things that were still going to keep him some income coming in.
Nice.
When in everyday world, I would have just let that run. The phone ring and then the consequences would be, oh, we need someone to handle it. Oh, you get it and you get the commission. No. And just by doing that, the rest of the staff kind of saw that, no, we pitch in to help one of our own when he was down. And it was a very different mindset from what had been going on. And I think that, just in that small way of taking the extra time to do something like that, spread this sense that we care for each other, even in a job that doesn't tell us we should.
That's great, a great example, right? I mean, a little bit of kindness goes a long way. I know it's a secular term,
yeah.
But as Catholics, you know, charity leads to God is love, and all things of love lead to God. A little bit of charity goes a long way to inspire others, and it makes for a better workplace, right? That if people are pitching in and they notice you're pitching in, and maybe they want to imitate that in some way, everyone will be happier. And, you know, maybe they won't be, you know, converting to the faith perhaps, but it'll make for a better workplace, which makes better for everyone. If we're living according to God's way, everyone's going to be happier by definition. Mm. So it's always a good thing to go make that extra, go that extra mile. It really helps to change people's perspective and just make them have a happier day, which is a great thing. You know, just as Catholics, to be able to do that for somebody.
Indeed.
A cup of cold water. If we give them a cup of cold water, it's such a small thing, right? But it's good enough for our Lord to enter us, to let us go into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I would think today, David, it's even more difficult, or it would become more noticeable, because that whole essence of the theology of excellence, it seems to be waning in our culture today. And people are doing the minimum. I mean, they're just kind of just sliding through, and let me just do the least, or at least what everybody else is doing, that rising to the top. I think it's a little bit more difficult to do today, don't you think, David?
Yes, I do. I mean, the world doesn't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about excellence. They just want, as Ellen was mentioning, there's very much an individualist way about our culture. So we just do our own thing and put our blinders on and not worry about anything else. We'll do our job and get home and get our paycheck and move on. But that's not what God wants from us. He always wants more and asks us to give more and give more and give more. And if we can put ourselves in that mindset that, okay, I know God wants more from me because that's what God always wants. Well, here I am at work. Where can I give a little bit more? Where is it that I, not in the sense of, you know, work more hours, but where can I give to other people? Where can I do my work more efficiently, more effectively, with more charity, perhaps, in a way that will be befitting of God and His call for me, and also in a way that will inspire my coworkers in such a way to make the world a better place for them, in hopes that they too can come to find God through their work.
And I would say you could do that without ever mentioning Jesus Christ or things that maybe are prohibited in the workplace these days. And,
absolutely.
We talk about that actions speak louder than words in so many ways. And you can be the light of Christ in your workplace without preaching or proselytizing or all of those things that they say you can't do these days. It's very simple to exhibit Christian kindness in the workplace. Do you think this is more of a challenge today? I think about the work from home option. Like, how do you exhibit that when a lot of people are working from home? Is there a way to do that?
That's a great question. I mean, certainly so far as one interacts with one's coworkers at home, through Zoom or whatever other means, that becomes much more difficult to do because it's rather perfunctory. You do what you need to do on the meeting and then you go back to doing your thing. But then when you're at home, then that kind of ramps up the idea of, okay, who's at home with me? So then your workplace charity becomes, when I walk away from my computer screen or walk away from my desk, am I being kind to my children? Am I not taking out any frustrations I may have from work on them or on my spouse? Or, am I leaving my work in my work and not trying to let the moods that may come from a good day or a bad day at the figurative office, may not let that affect the rest of my life at home? That becomes a new challenge. And to make sure that any pressures from the workplace don't come in and push down the home life. That's a challenge for people, certainly. It's a great question.
Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that we can witness in a lot of different ways. Like, I remember being on a Zoom call with someone, and behind them, I could see, it was really, I think, in another room, I could see a crucifix.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't obviously on display,
right?
But it was present, and it was neat to me. I was like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, because I think about the photo of St. John Paul the Great in the stone quarry when he has his shirt off, but you can see his scapular. David. It's a very famous photo. I'm sure you've seen it. And that was probably just a small way to witness to everyone his faith, don't you think?
Oh, just without question. And people, when he was working, people knew who he was, too, that day that he was hoping to go into the seminary, and his coworkers were helping him, you know, steal a couple hours here or there away from the quarry so he could study his theology, and then go into the seminary, you know, being under the, at that time, being under the Nazi occupation. So it's those little things, they go, little signs, symbols. I had a friend of mine, this takes you out of the home environment, but was working very briefly at a construction site, and he had a little cubicle, and he put a cross up in the cubicle in the left-hand corner. And that little cross got so much traction. People came up to him and just, are you a Christian? Like, they saw that, and they were happy. They were eager. They wanted to talk to him. People who were Christian realized, oh, wait a second, I have a friend here. Let me go talk to this guy and make a connection. So those little signs, they may seem insignificant, but they go a long way to spark the faith of other people.
But I'm sure we have listeners who are like, all right, let's talk about how when it's not welcomed, when it's you get a negative reaction, when people kind of walk up and go, what's going on here? That offends me, David. That offends me. How do you deal with that?
Well, let's go back to the cross in the corner of the cubicle. That's for me. That's not for you. It's my cubicle. Is the picture of my wife and children going to offend you as well? I hope not. So I think that would be a quick way to diffuse that. That's my picture. It's not your picture. So what are you worried about? I think that the tougher questions to deal with nowadays are, you know, think of the news item. Let's say you're a professor or student at the university where they're mandating the use of pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate through such a situation? It's not a clear-cut way to do so. It's difficult. I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer other than say, oh, yeah, I think this is fine. I'm going to go adopt this. That's the wrong answer. But if you're a Catholic and say, I'm not into this pronoun thing, how do I get through this? Because I know that in not just through my faith, but also through regular human biology, there are men and there are women, and that's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, that's tough. Is it sinful that if your employer asks you to put your pronouns on the bottom of your email? I honestly, in my mind, I don't think so. But that's where it comes. There's a question of conscience that now comes in with all these different questions of, okay, I drive a bus for a living. The bus that I drive has a not very appropriate ad on the side of it. Is it okay for me to drive this bus, or should I ask to drive another one? These are questions that are questions of conscience that they don't necessarily admit for an easy answer. And to say, all right, I have to drive this bus, and my employer's not giving me any other option. In many of these cases, they're not necessarily sinful cases. For sinful cases, we have to deliberately violate God's will. If, you know, God doesn't want that racy ad on the side of a bus. However, in this case, I don't have the free will. If the boss says, okay, drive this bus, it's not I who am responsible for putting that ad there. You know, it becomes a little thorny without question. But there's shades of gray in a lot of this that I don't think that Catholics need to panic and say that, oh, my employer has gone completely woke. What am I going to do? I have to quit my job. I don't think that's necessarily the case in many things. As long as we're not deliberately violating or being forced to violate the moral law of God, there is room for negotiation. It becomes difficult, but nevertheless, that's where prayer comes in, that we have to take these things to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and think about them and pray about them. So what do you want me to do in this situation, Lord?
I do have a friend, though, that was in that situation.
And on the bus thing?
No, not a bus. He called me without sharing the details because he's in our listening area. He was in a situation where his boss was basically pushing him to do something that he knew was immoral, and he was going to have to quit. And he called me to get counsel on it. And I said, yeah, you're in a tough place. And he didn't want to move. You know, he had job offers elsewhere, and his kids were in school and the whole thing. And he's like, Todd, please pray for me because this is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And I said, you're right. I work for the church, so it's easy. to live out my faith in the workplace. In fact, I think it's required, you know.
Yeah.
So, but he, it was so beautiful, David, and I know these situations don't always end as well as this one did, as I recognize that. So I know I'm going to get emails and text messages like, well, that's great for him. It was, because it ended up, that boss ended up moving in the company, and the new boss came in and said, I don't have any problem with what's going on.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't have to change. He didn't have to quit. But he was ready to, though. I think that's the important part, David, don't you think?
Yes, I mean, we have. If it's going to get to come to that, where we're going to come to have to do something that we know is immoral, we have to be ready to move. We have to pray for strength, first of all, and we have to be ready to make the hard decisions. And certainly, we pray that it's never going to come to that. But nevertheless, we have to be ready for whatever God wants us to do. He doesn't promise an easy road for us. He never has, and he never will.
David Bonagora, thanks for joining us. You can see his article on thecatholicthing.org, Being Catholic in the Workplace.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ellen.
Oh, have a great day.
Up there in New York.
Coming up next, Ken Lee Hall's going to tell us why 2022 will be better. He thinks.
Oh, no. He's confident, and I'm with him.
Okay.
I'm confident.
Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning. We'll tell you why next.
That's pretty.
That is nice.
You ask me why.
Good memories.
Yeah.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Mike the Great producing like a boss over there. Ribster doing his thing. We have this on the line, calling all the way from Canada, Kennedy Hall. He is the author of a couple books. He's a host of a conservative talk show, radio show, The Kennedy Profession, on the Crusade Channel. You can connect with him at kennedyhall.ca. And we're looking at his article in Crisis Magazine, 2022 will be better, I think. Good morning, Kennedy.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's so funny because when I was reading this article, I was excited to talk to you. I've been telling my whole family, we all got together at Christmas, and I said, you know, 2022 is going to be a great year for our family. And they're like, really? Well, how do you know that, Dad? I'm like, it's just a feeling. I just have
just a feeling.
I just have a sense. And then they kind of roll their eyes. They're like, oh, we thought maybe you had like something to say, like an article that you read, or there was some data or something like that. So why do you think that 2022 is going to be better, Kennedy?
Well, partly it's just a feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, you two are
Dad's
the same
unite.
Age.
Woo!
It's I don't know. Part of being a dad is you gotta. I mean, I think you have to be optimistic because you're supposed to kind of right the ship, I guess. But living here in Canada, it's obviously been quite challenging, and with all this, I love my country. You know, patriotism is a virtue, but I hate my government, and that's it's a very righteous hatred, I think. And it's been tough the last couple of years, to say the least. My life has radically changed. Many people have. I'm part of a segregated class of citizens now. It's actually kind of weird in Canada today. If you are an unvaccinated person, you have less rights than a black man under Jim Crow, which is just so bizarre to think about, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
I never thought about
it. I wish I could start my own unvaccinated sports league, but I can't.
Wow.
They won't let us play. Anyway, but at the same time, things have been really unraveling. I think we're seeing this with all the nonsense with Fauci and all these guys we know have been evil for a long time. And even though the persecution is sort of ramping up, personally, this is just my gut feeling. People always say read books like 1984 or Brave New World, and those are useful, but those books were written by men who were ostensibly atheists. And I think that one of the things that they often miss is the effect that sin has on the intellect. So I suggest that people look into like the Greek mythology or Shakespeare, where we see these sort of tyrants and these evil things happen, but the authors, because they were spiritual, obviously pagan in the old sense, and Shakespeare was Christian, but they recognize that the ghosts of the sins of the men in power will come back to visit them. And they always lead to their downfall, no matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
So I think right now what we're seeing is essentially almost like a cheating spouse. He's been found out, and his behavior becomes more erratic and destructive, but that's actually a sign of the end coming. That's just what I think.
And I agree with you, and I think sooner or later, like, in my youth, I was a compulsive liar. And yeah. When you lie, what's the first thing? When you get caught, what do you do?
Tell another lie.
You tell another lie.
Tell another lie.
And then you're, until finally you back up to the point where all the spotlights are on you, you got nowhere to go, and you're like, dang it!
Yeah, that's right.
But one thing, David, is that it's been a bit frustrating, I guess, the way that most of society just keeps going along with it rather than stopping to question, is this against, you know, I take Australia, for example, because what happened with Djokovic, and I'm still mad about that, as you can
tell. You should be mad about
that. Yes. Yeah. The fact that so many people are so upset at about a tennis player coming in to play a tournament, and
not a tennis player, the returning champion,
right,
the number one player in the world,
who's won the tournament 3 years in a row. And they won't let him in because of their own anger or their own misconceptions. And it just seems to me that the crowd still hasn't kind of caught on maybe these are a bit draconian what our government's doing to us.
Yeah, that might be the case. I mean, it's funny. The policies in Australia are pretty much the same as Canada. They just have a little bit more fight in them, even though they have more fight on both sides. Their government's more angry, and their people are more angry, I guess. So, but if you actually look at the letter of the law, we have pretty much the same policies here. We just have less sort of pep in our step. But again, you know, what happened with Djokovic, that method is not, it's a, how should I put this? It's like a, it's an ideology that's based on resentment. You know, it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. If you watch the commentary from Avi Yemini, for example, was at Rebel News, he was talking on Fox News about what happened to Djokovic. It was fully admitted that it had nothing to do with his vaccination status. He had a valid medical exemption. He even had a diplomatic passport. Mm-hmm. But it was the fact that, you know, it was just, this isn't fair because we tried so hard to all get vaccinated. You shouldn't do this, you know. And that works for a time, but it's like a toddler kicking and screaming. Eventually, you just tire yourself out and you just are a puddle on the floor. And then somebody with common sense who's a grown up has to come and pick up the pieces. I think that's where we are right now. You know, even here in Ontario, mm-hmm. this whole, I joke and I call it the Megatron variant because they make up these names, but the Omicron thing. You know, it's funny, everyone was very pro-lockdown, or at least enough people were pro-lockdown to have public opinion on the side, but now that everyone's basically getting a cold, and this isn't to denigrate, you know, obviously some people get sick with things and that's just fact of life. But people are basically getting a cold and are thinking, you're locking me down for this, you know, and partly right now, Australia is actually in their summer, okay? And so Australia is going to have very low sickness rates because it's the southern hemisphere. But if you kind of watch what's happened in Australia, they've been about 6 months behind everybody else in some way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when the cold weather comes back to Australia if they're still having these things and people are going to go, hold on a sec. I'm now, you know, forced to get my 17th booster because I might get the sniffles. Like, this seems like a little bit much.
Right.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Now, talk about, you refer to individuals called the normies, and you think that quite a few of them now are kind of seeing the light of truth, aren't they? Kennedy?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you're muffled there. I can't hear you.
Oh, right. Sure. Sorry. You refer in the article to the group called the normies, and you're saying that they seem to now be coming to the light of truth. Explain that, Kennedy.
Okay, so the analogy that I use, I think I use a sports analogy. You know, let's think of those couple years there when the Kansas City Chiefs were really good in football. It's like whenever there's some sort of bandwagon to jump on, the zealots start to look really, what's the word I'm looking for? They look attractive, you know, like that guy who's been going to every single home game and like wears the same socks. And, you know, smells like beer and, you know, eats one piece of chip out of the same Dorito bags that he has since like 1993 as some sort of ritual. When the team is losing, he looks like a complete nut job. But when they're winning, it's like, oh, isn't that cute? He's sort of like our endearing little, you know, Chiefs fan. everyone wears the jerseys to work, and they, you know, they talk about the Chiefs at the water cooler, and, you know, all of a sudden they've always been a Chiefs fan. But then when they start to lose, you know, they start to take the jerseys off, and then that guy who has his ritualistic Doritos seems like a nut job. Mm-hmm. And I think that this whole thing is kind of losing its flavor for a lot of people. And the people that are going to remain are going to be the zealots, and they get more destructive, don't get me wrong, but they're no longer attractive. And it's sort of a matter of time before people go, yeah, that was a crazy couple of years. I'm glad we're not doing that anymore. That's just what I think about the normies sort of waking up a bit.
They're busy living, it sounds like. Yeah. If it's front and center in the culture, they'll jump on the bandwagon. And I say this as being a Miami fan, and we are king for having a bandwagon jumping fans all yep. over our city. And then they go back to doing whatever. Oh, no, we're going to the beach on Sunday or whatever. We're not going to the Dolphin game because it's been decades.
Right.
So you think that people will jump off this COVID bandwagon, like we're just, I'm getting back to living. I'm getting back to work and family and planning and all of those things.
Yes, I do. I think that's already happened in a lot of ways, which is evidenced by the fact that everybody's catching a cold.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get together for last, I mean, largely speaking, the majority of the population didn't get together during Christmas in 2020. But they did during 2021. Mm-hmm. There were spats. I mean, I've got family members who sadly have basically excommunicated me from their life because I don't present them a vaccine passport, which is a whole other story. But nonetheless, I mean, it was, it was old normal Ontario for us. I mean, our parish was midnight mass was packed to the gills with chairs in both sides of the aisles. And it was, I mean, I don't think we were following the fire code and there wasn't a mask in sight. The choir was, I don't know. Justin Trudeau was probably upset because it looks like they were singing moistly. He was warning us against speaking moistly.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
And, and it was, guess what? Most everyone I know has been sick. But every Christmas of my life was like that. I mean, it's like the kids get the sniffles and they've got to cough until March, and now they call that long COVID. But I mean, before it was just, anyway, so that's kind of where we are right now. And I think the fact that everyone's sick is proof that they all got together, which means at least by their actions, they're kind of over it.
Well, what I'm hoping for is that people will live their lives the way they want to live, Kennedy.
That's right.
But not come down on anyone else to impose those standards on us. Like every year, you know, we have a very large family and we love our Christmas photo. We love it. It's something we very much look forward to. And now that the kids are kind of moving away, it is the to us as the dad, especially, it's very important. Like, that's the first thing we do at the Christmas gathering. Nobody really eats until we get the Christmas photo. And last year, when my wife put it on Facebook, I remember she got a lot of angry comments that we weren't wearing masks.
Oh, goodness.
That would ruin it.
And I remember that. Yeah. I remember people, you know, and I thought, why is that any of your business? Like, you guys can wear triple mask and put a mask on your dog if you want to, and I'm not going to make a comment because that's your life. But why is it that you know nothing of the details of our family? And why and these are some people that were kind of acquaintances, not even friends. So this year, bigger Christmas photo. We've got a new addition to my daughter's engaged, so he joined the picture.
Great.
And no one, of course, wearing masks, and not one comment about that this year. So I think moving in the right direction, don't you think, Kennedy?
I think so. And you make a good point about people just need to let us live our lives. You know, last night we were with some family. And God bless them, but the one works in healthcare and is obviously visiting and we're normal around each other, but because they work in the healthcare system, they've drank the Kool-Aid of all the things. And, which is kind of interesting to see. It's interesting to see people kind of live double lives. You know, I remember I had a conversation with another family member who works in healthcare who I actually saw in Christmas 2020, and they were complaining about all the things, and I'm like, what are you doing here? You know, like your overlord said you shouldn't be visiting, and they're like, well, don't go there. And I thought, well, own it. You know, if you're going to live it, live it. Just don't be a hypocrite. You know, I can't stand hypocrites. You know, be whatever you're proclaiming to be. But anyway, we were talking last night, and they said, well, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and people feel strongly, just as you anti-lockdowners and anti-maskers. And I thought, that's true, but I'm not asking you to change your life. I'm not asking you to be in a different subset of the population. If you would like to wear, you know, a sweater over your face for the rest of your life, you can do so. If you would like to, you know, take as many medications as you'd like, I mean, that's up to you. But the difference is that I'm not in the slightest asking for the government, the power of the state, to change the way that you live your life and the way that you worship God, because it makes me uncomfortable. And that's the disconnect between the two camps.
Hopefully 2022 will see a bridging of that disconnect and a realization of some of the freedoms that we forfeited during this. And, you know, hopefully we will reclaim them as a people, especially in places like Canada and Australia, even worse, don't get me started. But like Canada, you can't get on a train. You can't get on a plane. You can't do anything that is normally done without having this vaccine passport. And they've acquiesced to that. Do you see that being discontinued?
I don't know. But I will say there's a little bit of good news on that front, at least with flying. WestJet Airlines, it's one of our airlines. Anyway, every airline under the current regulations can accept religious exemption requests. Some of them have just decided to be total Scrooges about it and just not accept anything. But it seems WestJet Airlines is they're kind of making that their thing. Like, we're sort of the airline that will accept your Christian exemption. So I've heard people, traditional Catholic friends of mine, have been flying back and forth to see family at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they just did that, and they were quite generous about it. So, you know, one thing my wife has said, she's a smart lady, one thing she said since this whole thing started, and she said, you know, in some way we're going to see two parallel societies sort of to develop, especially here in Canada, where, you know, it's going to be hard to have some reconciliation here. It really is. The media is too complicit. There's no alternative media here, really. But I think that's kind of what we're seeing, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if even if they drop the vaccine passport system per se, that they would replace it with something like every airline has to have a vaccine policy, you know, which would mean, okay, you can present your passport, or you can present a negative test, or you can present an exemption thing. And it's just sort of a headache, and you just kind of know who you'd like to do business with, and it sort of ossifies into different camps. That's what I see happening here in Canada, at least. I don't know when they'll actually drop them. Although I will say, they locked all the restaurants down here in Ontario the day before they were expecting everyone to implement a QR code to get in, which was really sad, because in some ways, because I know a lot of people, I mean, it's silly that you go get vaccinated. I mean, listen, you want to do what you want to do, that's fine. But it's silly that if your reason to take a medication you didn't take to that point was so you go to a restaurant and people got out and got the jab and then they couldn't go. I think that ticked a lot of people off. But also, I see it as a silver lining that personally, I think the government realized that it was impossible to enforce, you know, every single restaurant. And there's 15 million people in this province, and it's the size of three Texases as far as landmass goes. And you're going to have QR code readers at every single bloody restaurant. Like, it's just impossible. I think partly that's one of the reasons they shut her down, and they're trying to kind of circle the wagon and see what they can do. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
Kennedy Hall. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can connect with Kennedy at kennedyhall.ca. Thanks so much for joining us, Kennedy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk later.
Voice of reason up in Canada. Coming up next, Sean Dudley, Holly Moore are going to join us and give us an update on Fraternus and Fidelis, two Catholic groups for men and women. So stay with us here on LA Catholic Morning. don't hear
producing like a boss.
There I
am. Welcome back to LA Catholic
Didn't
Morning.
Hear you.
It's all right. We're doing our thing. In studio, we have Holly Moore and Sean Dudley here to speak to us again about Fraternis and Fidelis. You can connect with the websites at fraternis.net and fidelisonline.org. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Todd.
Thank you all for having us.
So you all were on sometime back saying that you wanted to start this. Some people might have missed that show. Explain to us again, what is Fraternis and Fidelis?
Yeah, so it's multi-generational mentor training for virtues. And
that sounded really cool.
It did, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love that multi-generational word.
Yeah, training in virtue, I think, is something that we could all use a little bit more of, you know? Uh-huh. And it's split up. Fraternis is for men ages 6th grade and up, and Fidelis is for the ladies 6th grade and up. And like Holly was saying, it's multi-generational.
What do you mean by that, multi-generational?
Well, it's open to small groups of men as well, of adult men, of adult women. It's not just for kids. It is a targeted thing for the training of youth to become good, holy Catholic women and men, but it's also open to those of us who are already over the age of 22 and out of college.
So what exactly does it look like? How does it become actualized?
Yeah, so we are actually starting next Tuesday night, January 25th. That'll be our first meeting. And we're going to start with just some fun stuff for the guys. It'll be dodgeball. And the girls will do some sort of icebreaker fun games. And then we'll have dinner. And then we'll gather for what we call the King's Message, which will start with a video clip that kind of like keeps it cool with the kids, pop culture.
Modern, relevant.
And then we'll have a message that follows that. And then we break into small groups based on their ages and kind of discuss the virtue that we talked about for the night. And then we end with night prayer, hopefully with a priest.
Right. And so it's a weekly meeting. We're going to do it on Tuesday nights at St. Pius from 6 to 8 p.m. And the guys will be in one part of St. Pius and the ladies will be in another part. And we're just going to go through that same routine every week of focusing on a different virtue, having a different message of the week. And then as part of the small group time, there is a challenge for you to take home for the week to implement that virtue that you learned about in some way. And then you're responsible to come back to the group the next week and be accountable to it to tell us, you know, how you did.
Can you give an example?
Not yet, because we haven't done it yet.
Oh, but I wasn't sure what you're going to do.
I mean, like, when we talk about the virtues, like, which ones specifically?
Sure.
Well, right now we're focusing on prudence.
Nice.
So making good decisions. So maybe the challenge would be, I don't know, your parents ask you to clean up after dinner, the kitchen, right? And you'd rather sit there and finish your video game, but maybe instead you put it down and you respond immediately to your parents and make that good decision. So I just pulled that one out of the air.
Right.
But this is why we're starting to see families transformed by these ministries, not mm-hmm. just the kids' lives, because parents are starting to see differences in how their kids respond at home and in their communities at school and things like that. So that's what we're hoping.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the programming. This is new to the area. It's still sort of a newer organization in the history of the church, certainly. So we're excited to learn ourselves about it as we get into it. But I mean, I can think of another one. Fortitude, for instance, maybe a challenge would be to, you know, if you see somebody getting bullied, then you step in, that kind of thing, and then come back and tell us how you did. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right. So is this supposed to take the place of a youth group, or I know it's hard because people are like, don't define it, but someone's going to define it. So what is it supposed to look like?
I think that it is primarily going to take the shape, at least initially, of a youth group, but it's not meant to replace Life Teen. We intentionally put it on a different night than a lot of the parishes meet for Life Teen, mm-hmm. so that it can be complementary, so that we can be meeting together to work on our growth in the faith and as humans, not just once a week, or even twice a week, but try to do this regularly, you know, practicing in virtue like we do with practicing with our sports. But yeah, I think to your point, Todd, I think that it is going to be, at least at first, very much a youth fellowship. I see a lot of need for Christian fellowship, Catholic fellowship among all ages, certainly in the friend groups that I move in. And I think that this could be a vehicle for those type of groups to be plugged into this discussion as well. But initially, yes, we're focusing on the 6th through 12th graders and bringing them in.
And a lot of the parishes that we are working with do not have youth groups right now. So we're hoping it'll fill
really?
The void.
Yeah. I would think that that would be a good... Oh, look at Todd. He's sadly shaking
it
his
head.
It
is so sad.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm surprised to hear that. I thought everybody had a youth group, at least, or attempted to.
Not middle school, for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, are you doing the 6th through 12th grade all together in the small groups, or do you break it up according to age?
Small groups will be broken up according to age, yes, mm-hmm. but they will all meet together as a big group, and then when they break up, they'll be with their ages.
So you don't have to be a parishioner of St. Pius. You could be a parishioner in any parish.
That's correct.
That's hearing our voice.
That's correct. We've been recruiting at several parishes throughout the Archdiocese, as many as we can get to. It's hard when there's just a few of us. But mm-hmm. yeah.
All right, a couple dad questions. First of all, is there any cost?
No. You always start with that one.
I'm the dad!
Okay.
Yeah, so there is a yearly cost. It's $40, and that goes directly to Fraternus Infidelis, where you get to be a member, and then you get a little booklet that leads you through the prayers and the virtues at home, so you can live out this life at home. We're trying to raise the rest of the funds ourselves so that it's not too much of a burden on the families. So we are asking if anyone feels called to donate financially. We would welcome that. You can send your donations to St. Pius office and just put in the memo line Fraternus Infidelis. We will be providing dinner each week, and so that's going to be a cost that we're going to have to figure out.
Is your husband providing
My
dinner?
Husband will be providing the first night's dinner. Tad's,
yes.
Tad's Coastal Kitchen, shameless
yes.
plug. he'll be making chili the first night, so we're hoping that'll make people want to come back.
Indeed. And then who's doing the small groups?
So the small groups will be led by two adult members of Fraternus or Fidelis each. So based on the number of kids that we have in the different groups, we'll either have a 6th and 7th grade group or a 6th grade group, a 7th grade group, an 8th grade group. And each of those will have two adults in those small groups to help facilitate the discussion.
Which is fantastic. That model is so awesome. As long as you have the right people involved in it. Like, I'm sure if my 16-year-old daughter is listening right now, she'll be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great, and new friends.
Yeah, we're excited. And since last time we were here, that's what we've been working on, is making sure that we have those really good mentors. And mm-hmm. we've been meeting together and praying together, and it's been really good. We've already found such awesome community. The Lord's really brought some awesome families together, so we're thrilled.
So this starts a week from tomorrow. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
All right. Yes. If somebody's listening to this and wants to get involved still or get their child involved, what do they do?
So you can call St. Pius's office. They have my contact information, but we'll also put links on your website mm-hmm. for people to go to a Google form and fill out their contact information, and then we will reach out to you.
Mm-hmm. And you can also sign up to become members of Fraternus and Fidelis on those websites as well, the Fraternus website, the Fidelis website.
All right. So what are you most excited about with all of this?
Do you know what it's like to plan a wedding?
Oh, no. No, you opened a can of worms.
So here's the thing. When you're a woman and you plan a wedding, you have nightmares every night that you show
every
up.
Every night.
And nobody comes. Nobody comes to the wedding.
I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that at all.
That's my biggest fear, but my biggest excitement is just see who shows up, because we've had contact and so much excitement from just about 100 kids so far. So just to see how many of those kids actually show up and the impact that's made on their lives,
yeah.
That's what I'm excited about, to just see the transformation of their lives. And I'm excited for my kids. My kids were so bummed. We actually postponed the start of this 2 weeks because of the sickness that was going around. We had some mentors that were down and out.
Uh-huh.
But my kids were so bummed that we had to delay the start of it. So I'm excited for them.
I really like that you are expanding this across parishes, because so many times you just know the kids in your own youth group or your own school or your own group. And when you realize that there's a whole bigger Catholic universe all in seventh grade as well, you get to kind of see and connect with them. And that's always a good thing.
It'll be fun to see the friend groups that are formed that then continue all the way through high school
uh-huh.
and beyond as well. So, mm-hmm. And I'm excited for Tad's chili.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'm excited as a former youth minister that you have parents involved
mm-hmm.
directly in the development of their kids. Thank you. I mean, I can't tell you. I had kids that came to the youth group for four solid years that I don't know if I ever saw their parents.
I think that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's the only thing we can really chalk it up to. It's the Holy Spirit. So,
fantastic.
Thanks to him.
Oh, so Sean Dudley, Molly Moore,
Holly
Moore. See, I got it.
It's okay. Close.
FidelisOnline.org or
Fraternis.net.
Those are the two websites. Check them out.
Thank you all so much for joining
us. Michael, get the link up.
Appreciate it.
For having
Thanks.
Us.
We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover & Associates. They're an engineering firm offering plant design and layout for churches, schools, shipyards, material handling facilities, and more. Call CMG&A at 251-433-1611 or go to cmg-a.com. Who's coming up tomorrow, Mike?
Yes, tomorrow, Father Pat Driscoll talks about how to live intentionally as Catholics. Father Tad Pacholczyk discusses his article on protecting the mentally challenged. And Joseph Pierce breaks down Don Quixote in a nutshell.
Joseph Pierce will be joining us.
With him. Back.
Don Quixote.
Oh.
It'll be delightful.
Michael, sing the impossible dream for us.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
Sure will
that
be.
Voice.
If you are off today for Martin Luther King Jr. Uh-huh. Day, then have a delightful,
delightful
day. If you're going to work, have a delightful day also.
Oh, we're already here.
Thanks so much for we're joining
delighted.
Us here at LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.